Titus. Towards the end, Titus chapter 2, we're going to be looking tonight. I'm going to base this study we're looking at as we started tonight. And it's called I Am the Vine, based on John chapter 15, verse 5, where Jesus says, I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same will bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. The word abide is the word meno, which means stay. And I really feel like in the midst of all the stuff that goes on and all the things that might be going on in your life and in my life, the best place to be is right in the presence of Jesus and stay there. When we get in trouble, when I get in trouble, is when I don't stay. When I get up and walk away or get my mind on something else or get distracted or whatever else. And he says, no, you abide in me. So Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These, then, are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. Father, I come to you tonight and I thank you that your word is always right because you're always right. And you teach us, Father, by your Holy Spirit. And I just pray your Holy Spirit will speak to us tonight. Speak to me. Help me, Father, to put into practice what you're saying. Lord, it's one thing to know it. It's another thing to put it into practice. And so, Lord, I just pray that as we look at this tonight, for all who might be listening online and for us here, that you, Lord, will speak to our hearts and that we will receive it from your Spirit. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I am the vine. Jesus is the giver of all good things. We know that. Tonight we're going to talk about grace. Is grace amazing or what? It is, absolutely. And this one small little letter written to Titus talks so much about grace. The first thing it talks about in verse 11 is that grace saves us from sin's penalty. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. See, it's unconditional grace. It's God's grace that He's willing to give to anyone who will come to Him. It's not something that we can earn. If it's something that we could earn, we wouldn't really need Him. We could earn it on our own. It's not something that we deserve, because we all know what we deserve. We deserve to be separated from God forever. It's not for some and not for others. In other words, God's grace is free to anyone who will come to Him. It's according to God's Word that He wants to continually reach out to anyone who will come to Him. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says it like this. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is what? The gift of God. God's grace is given to us, and He wants to reach out to anyone who will come to Him. It's not based on any performance, but instead it's based on God's promise. God promised His Son, and His Son came. God promised that His Son would give His life for our sins, and He did. I kind of put it this way. It's not spelled do. It's not the things that you do that make you okay. And it's not the things that you don't do that makes you okay. It's the things that He has already done that makes us okay. It's His grace. His grace was given for us. He's done everything required for us to receive that grace. It's unconditional. And it's unlimited. His grace covers all sin. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that His grace didn't just cover part of your sin? It covers all sin. And he never runs out of grace. You know, I think about that statement because I think sometimes I run out of grace. I probably am not as graceful to people as I should be. I sometimes get aggravated or whatever it might be. But he never runs out of grace. There's nothing too difficult for God. There's nothing too large for God. He can handle it all. And that's exactly what he's saying to us tonight. His grace is the only thing that brings salvation. Grace saves us from sin's penalty. Verses 12 through 14 then talks about grace strengthens us against sin's power. I like this little quote that I put in here. When you become His child, you are immediately enrolled in Grace University. It is here that we learn two invaluable lessons. God loves you right where you are, and God loves you too much to leave you there. I liken it so much to how my granddad used to discipline me. When I was growing up, there was never a time that I ever thought my granddad didn't love me. He loved me so much. There were times that he disciplined me that I was wondering, but he certainly did it because he loved me. And he didn't want me to continue down the road I was going down. And that's why discipline is so important for us as parents to children, as God to us. You know, that discipline is a part of life. So God strengthens us against sin's power. We have to choose to leave the sinful life. Look at what the first part of verse 12 says. It teaches us to say what? No to ungodliness and worldly passions. You see, folks, we all have the choice of whether we're going to sin or not. And we can say no. We're not like Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it. No. We have the choice. We can determine whether or not we're going to go forward or we're going to turn around and go the other way in repentance. We need to leave the sinful life. The Greek term here for deny is arponomai, which means to disown, disregard, or repudiate. In other words, because of God's grace to bring us to Himself, and because we are now His, we disown the old life of sin and rebellion, and we put on the new self. And so for all of us, no matter where we are, there are things that continually crop up. We'll never continue, we'll never get to a point where we're not tempted in any way, because we're fault, we have faults in our life. But the fact is that in the process of that, we don't have to say yes to the sin. We can say no to the sin. We disown that old way of life. We disown our own rebellion in our heart. And we put on the new self. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. So I say this and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they've become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness. But you did not learn of Christ in this way, if indeed you've heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you what? You lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and the holiness of truth. I heard a pastor out of Georgia one time preaching on this very thing, and he said, take off the old dead clothes and put on the new spiritual clothes. You know, when you're going to go out and be in the presence of the King, you don't want to go in looking like you just got out of bed and look terrible. He says, we're in the presence of the King always. So why would we bring the junk into the presence of God? It should so hurt us. It should so make us sad to have those things in our life. And so we have to choose to disregard those things and disown them and put them aside, not to put them on anymore. Some of you guys might connect with me on this. I have a couple of shirts that I wear when I do work around the house. They're my holy shirts, literally. And, you know, once I get through with one of the little projects that I'm working on, the first thing my wife asked me to do is, would you go change your shirt now? You know, it's just like, it's not presentable. It's not good. But anyway, we can't live like we used to, and we want to live like we ought to. That's the difference. And the book of Titus tells us, that's the difference in a person who knows Jesus and wants to please Him and honor Him and follow Him, and one who's just trying to live by a set of standards called religion. Secondly, we need to live the sanctified life. Look at the second part of verse 12. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. You see, we're three-part beings, body, soul, and spirit. We need to live sensibly, the Scripture says, or soberly, which means self-control. What we do in our body, that's our inward life, what we choose. We also need to live righteously. That's where our soul comes into play. Our soul is made right with Him, and He resides within us. Abide. Hence we reflect His life instead of ours. That's our outward life. I wonder how many times people see us rather than seeing Jesus in us. It's those times when they see us that we're not bringing people to Him. But it's those times that we allow Him to live through us that He draws all men unto Him. Godly lives, the Scripture says, our spirit is now made new to reflect His Spirit. That's the upward life. In other words, when people hear what we say and see what we do, and even in our countenance, they realize that, hey, this person's different. Something's different about this person. It's because Christ is shining through us. So we need to live a sanctified life. And we need to love the servant life. Look at what verse 14 says. He gave Himself up for us to redeem us from all wickedness and purify for Himself what? A holy people. A people that are His very own. Eager to do what is good. It makes us zealous for good deeds. The Greek term here means enthusiotis, means enthuse, means God in you, and the word enthusiasm comes from this root. In other words, when Jesus is in you and you allow Him to speak through you, to live through you, you are enthused. You are full of His Spirit, and you want to share Jesus, and you want to reach out to people, and you want to love on your neighbors, and you want to touch people who are hurting. And you're open. It's like the spiritual antenna come out and you start, you know, realizing what's going on around you. Are you enthusiastic about doing His work, or is it a duty? See, I think that's really the crux of what's being said here tonight. Because there's tons of people who legalistically go to church and do all the things that church people are supposed to do. But as Jesus says, your hearts are far from Me. God is looking for people who are willing to love like He loves, unconditionally, to go to those who are hurting, to reach out to those who have needs, and to tell people about Jesus. Thirdly tonight, look at verse 13. I'm going to go back one verse here. Grace separates us from sin's presence. Look at how it says this. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's going to be a day, and as we talked about last week, ready or not, here I come. There's going to be a day when Jesus comes. And when that happens, we're going to be separated from this world. We're going to be separated from our mortal bodies. We're going to be separated from our sinful nature. And we're going to be in His presence. And I wonder, are we looking for Him? He's our blessed hope. Are we looking for the glorious appearing of Jesus? Are we looking up? I find many times I'm walking around and I'm looking down. And it's not because I'm looking for coins on the ground. I'm looking down because I just, you know, maybe I'm down in my heart, or maybe my countenance is just not good or whatever. We need to be looking up. We need to be showing the love of Jesus. We need to be full of His love. He came the first time to take away my sin, but He's coming the second time to take us away from the presence of sin forever. Folks, that's the greatest thing to look forward to. To be in His presence. To not only abide with Him now, but abide with Him forever. You see, because right now, I can abide with Him and then walk away sometimes. Are we looking for Him? Are we longing for Him? Is there a longing in your heart to stay in His presence? I find many times that it doesn't take me long to get off the trail, to get off the path. It doesn't take me long. I mean, I start out every day in God's Word and praying and stuff, but before long I get on the phone with some unhappy person on the phone, and before long I don't really feel myself in the presence of God. I want to be in His presence. I don't want to leave His presence. Is there a longing in your heart that His kingdom come and that His will be done? See, because His kingdom is going to come. His kingdom really is already here in us. But in full force, it's going to come. And when it comes, it's going to be amazing to see what God's going to do. Are we looking for Him? Are we longing for Him? Are we comforted by Him? You see, when we have this relationship with the Father, while we're waiting for the blessed hope and His glorious appearance of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, while we are doing that, we ought to be looking up and realizing that every person around us is an opportunity for us to show the love of Jesus. Every person. Not just people that we like. Not just people that we think deserve. Because no one deserves God's love. But we are comforted by His relationship with us. As you begin each day, as I begin each day, one of the things that I pray in my heart is, Lord, I want to stay in Your presence. Because when I get outside of that, I'm lost without Him. I'm not lost salvation-wise. He's already paid for my sins. But as far as doing His will, hearing from Him, living in His presence, walking in harmony with His Spirit, being able to share the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. As far as those things, I'm not that good sometimes because I get off track. I get my mind somewhere else. I forget that I'm supposed to be living in His presence. I want that relationship with the Father that I just know that He's always right here. He's always listening to everything I say, by the way. To everything that I think. To every part of me. And to remember this, and this brings great comfort to me, that He hears and answers our prayers. He does. We just heard a minute ago, He's already answered our prayer in Danny's life. I mean, and it doesn't always turn out the way we want it to turn out, by the way. But I know He hears us. And He certainly is there for us. And I'm reminded of this passage in Jeremiah 33:3, which I call God's phone number. He says, call on me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which you cannot comprehend. God wants us to call on Him. God wants us to live in Him. God wants us to keep looking for Him and longing for Him. And to be in His presence, to abide. And so for the next few weeks on Wednesday night, we're going to expound a little bit about how we can abide in Him more and more each day. Because He loves us so much and He desires to show Himself through us, His vessels, to the people around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much that You are here. Thank You, Lord, that You are speaking to us. You're speaking to me. Lord, I get so sidetracked sometimes. I get so selfish sometimes. I'm sorry, Lord. Lord, I want to be in Your presence so much that nothing else really matters. Because in Your presence, I will see things the way You want me to see them. And I will have the compassion for other people that You have. And I will realize, Father, how important every single person is to You. Because You love them enough to die for them, and You did. Lord, I pray that You'll help us all abide in You. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.